Okay, so protecting your health and recognizing and ending toxic friendships in midlife. So in this particular episode, I will be addressing a topic that may provoke strong reactions. And it's not because it's untrue, but because it may resonate with many and shed light on an essential aspect of our overall well-being that requires attention. So I will discuss the detrimental effects of toxic friendships and relationships among women over 40 on their overall health. So just like toxic intimate relationships, this situation can actually be even more damaging for us, as it often goes unnoticed in society, but it is happening everywhere. So growing up in the 80s and 90s as a girl, for me, bullying was mostly covert, but it was often overt too between the girls. However, while overt bullying may have diminished as we matured, covert bullying has persisted. I observe this covert behaviour not just among teenage girls at an alarming rate, but also among adult women. I have a suspicion that this modelled behaviour is influencing our young girls today. So, a little about my friendship history. So, I have a close-knit group of around 20 friends whom I have known for decades, some of whom I met when I was still a child. So, nowadays, it's uncommon for friendships to endure into the 40s and 50s, but we still maintain a close bond. And while we may not be as tight-knit as in our younger days, we still regularly meet up and we stay connected, maintaining a consistent relationship. So we'll arrange nights, well, I won't because I'm not the arranger, but we arrange nights out, trips away, things like that. We're still in constant contact and we have our chit-chat group that we've had for years. So I've added people in along the way, but because I don't suffer fools in this department when it comes to friendships and knowing my worth, it's always been quite easy for me to cut out dickheads, cut them loose quickly, and it's always been pretty easy for me with friendships. It's a shame it's not been the same for relationships, but that's another story, that's another episode. So I had the pleasure of meeting a close friend before lockdown, a new close friend, and I truly believe that she entered my life for a purpose. She's an amazing individual, both internally and externally, and she serves as an inspiration to me on every level. And likewise, I aspire to be an inspiration to her as well. And I hope that I am. So I've also made a new friend in the past year who has brought so much joy into my life recently. And once again, I believe that our meeting was not by coincidence. And I hope that she will be in my life forever. So choosing our friends wisely is essential. It's perfectly normal to consider how these connections influence our mental, spiritual, and physical health. It's not necessary to be friends with everyone, no matter what they try to tell us in primary school. Maybe be friends with everyone. No, you don't have to be friends with everyone. And that's the message I convey to my children and my daughter. It's artificial. It's not practical. And however, we can always choose to be kind at a distance. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. So, however, some clients find that their friendships are negatively affecting their lives and overall well-being. And this has been something that has cropped up so many times for me in the last couple of years when I've been speaking to my clients and they've come out with it. And I'm like, this is interesting. And that's why today this podcast is about toxic friendships and what to look out for, so that you can discern what is happening. So there are numerous social media profiles and books focused on identifying toxic partners, but it's equally important to recognise toxic friends. It's not just the textbook bully or the obvious fake portrayal that we should be aware of. I don't know, loud, obnoxious, whatever. You know, sometimes that's not always. It's the covert ones, the snakes, that we need to be sort of made aware of. So this type of bullying, I'm just going to call it bullying, can manifest so subtly that you might not even recognise it's occurring. Unfortunately, it is not uncommon, as so many individuals fail to take responsibility for their actions nowadays. And that includes men, women, you know, our age group, you know, we need to call this shit out. These behaviours can be found in women's groups, wellness communities, school settings, PTAs, and even within our own families, making it pervasive. And no, it's not all in your head, as so many women I speak with are highlighting this to me in private. So they frequently employ covert and passive aggressive tactics to harm their target. And it isn't subconscious, it's deliberate, such as sulking, stonewalling and making snide remarks. And yes, this is women in their 40s, 50s, 60s and I will say 70s as well, probably even more, if they have not worked on themselves. So if you find yourself as their target, it can be challenging to even recognise the situation until your self-esteem is affected. And if you're already struggling and you've always been told to be nice and the good girl, you know, it's even harder. So consequently, you may internalise the behaviour, enduring these toxic relationships for way too long, which can have a devastating impact on your overall well-being. So how can we identify a so-called friend who behaves like a bully? And I use bully, when I talk about bullies, I'm not usually talking about people that are loud and, you know, say what they think and stuff. It's the snidey ones, that's what I call out. So I'm going to give you a really brief overview today, and I will talk about the subject of adult friendships in future episodes because it is really important. So friend, and it's really important to know as well that it is potentially something that's affecting your whole health, because there could be key aspects when I'm working with my clients and they don't even recognize that something is impacting them in that way and the knock-on effect it's having. So when it is highlighted and the awareness is there, it's a lot easier to think, make decisions that are in your best interests and not in someone else. So these are key aspects to consider when reflecting on our friendships and interactions with new individuals. So obviously, God, who's at the door? Sorry, I'm not even going to bother cutting it out because that's my life. And do you know what it was? If you've been listening to my other podcasts, it's my garden Hoover bag. I don't know what happened, but I was blasting away at my garden. It's brilliant, this Hoover I've got. If you do need a Hoover bag, message me and I'll tell you which one it is. And it burst on me. I was literally, it just poofed out all this crap into my face, into my lungs. And I was just like devastated because I was just spending so long doing it. Oh my God, this is so bad. And I don't know if you're anything like me, but I'm constantly ordering stuff that is like one of my, I won't call it toxic, but I'm aware of it. It's, you know, I constantly order stuff online all the time. I was thinking, who the hell is that? How dare they be knocking on my door? Oh, it's my delivery man, my everyman, or whatever they're called nowadays. So these are key aspects to consider when reflecting on our friendship. So and interactions with new individuals. So you might recognise that you've been putting up with this crap for a long time, you know, with certain people. So obviously you can discern what you want to do going forward. But it's important to take the time to discern who we allow into our lives, especially at this age, to safeguard our spiritual, mental and physical well-being. And we want to ensure the circle we surround ourselves into the future, when we're on our health journey, is one that nurtures our development rather than jeopardising it. So let's highlight some covert snaking. What do you call it? Snaking. So number one, they may come across as pleasant during initial encounters. And due to our inclination to believe in the goodness of others, it's tempting to be drawn to their charm. However, determining true kindness requires time, as anyone can act kindly momentarily. It's wise to take your time before labelling someone as a friend. What we seek is authenticity and not a superficial front. And anyone who feels that, you know, that they've expected to be called a friend in your, you know, and they're there straight away, that's not, you know, that's not on them. No one else determines who we decide is going to be one of our friends. So I have like these little brackets, like acquaintances, friendships and stuff like that, and I have them all, you know, in these little thingies, portholes or whatever they're called. So number two, if someone shows excessive interest in you early on, similar to the phenomenon of love bombing in a real intimate relationship. So I'm not sure if you've heard about love bombing, but I'll talk about that in other episodes when we talk about relationships and things like that. So it's important to be cautious when someone is overly eager and it feels a bit intrusive, you'll feel it in your body. Take a moment to reflect on their intentions and how you feel. Not, oh, I don't want to make them feel bad. Who gives a fuck? Like, I'm sorry, we're in our 40s now. We're not there to pander to other people's feelings. Everyone is responsible for their own feelings. So why are they in such a hurry to accelerate the relationship with you? You know, it's a really simple question to ask, and it's a really, you know, it's your life, it's your health, your, you know, happiness and, you know, within friendships, and it's about you. So number three, when someone turns on you as soon as you disagree or express a different view. Yeah, and obviously bits of you that's like, you know, racist and, you know, or really fucking below the knee bullshit, then yeah, obviously people are going to have a reaction, but this does provide a valuable insight into the potential future of this friendship. And I'm talking like them, you know, you disagreeing that you don't drink coffee or something that's, you know, you're doing, or that you do something in the morning, or you do something with your child or whatever, and they're like really shaming, and like you all know, you can feel it in your body. It's important to remember that everyone is entitled to their own opinions, which is fine, and it's natural not to see eye to eye on everything. However, if you notice that your opinion is only valued when it fully aligns with theirs, it could be a warning sign in the friendship. So number four, it's commonly said that someone is your best friend as too soon. So basically what I mean by this is it should be a red flag that we should instill in our daughters as well, and our sons. But remember, no one can replace the special bond you have with yourself. So while the concept of having a best friend and being a best friend may seem appealing, it's essential to be really cautious when people are labelling you and tagging you as their best friend. I have witnessed this behaviour unfold manipulatively over the years, as it can be used to manipulate, divide and conquer and control social circles by subtly gatekeeping individuals, and I do not like it. And I see it being used in a manipulative way. So that's another thing. When someone calls you their best friend, you know, like if someone's like, oh, you're my favourite person, blah, blah, blah. It's just a bit icky. So five, they constantly discuss what they can offer and how they can assist you. But, you know, when they don't know you, Like, no, I'm not talking about when we know each other and, you know, we're helping our friends out and stuff and we're doing stuff, because it's very, very different. But remember, relationships should involve mutual support, but steer clear of those with a persistent self-serving mindset. So observe how people, they react with others and consider their motives and what are they always striving to be in control? So that's another one to look out for. Number six, and obviously I'm talking about adults here, I'm not talking about teenage girls, it's very, very different. That's the other stuff we look out for, but this is adult women that we are engaging with and coming across with, you know, in certain groups and blah, blah, blah. So number six, they may often ignore instances where you were treated rudely or poorly by others, appearing aloof when you mention it, as if they are unaware of what happened, or they downplay it. This behaviour is usually to maintain their own comfort. But having a friend like that is unnecessary. No one needs friendship. That's not going to grow into a friendship. And obviously we don't want to be sat there slagging people off and venting and blah, blah, blah. That's completely different. But even if we're not someone's friend, I would always address unacceptable behaviour when I witness it. Sorry, that's my dog coughing. Bystanders who enable such behaviour are essentially acting as bullies, whether overtly or covertly, and I will call out that crap. So, number seven. Do they seem to be everywhere and assert their dominance into networking communities as if they are the friend of the century, they are the best, you know, everyone needs to know who they are, giving off an impression of control, striving for absolute control in certain sectors, typically attained through financial power imbalances that marginalize, different demographics is worrisome. This approach is not beneficial. Therefore, why would someone desire such extensive influence over others apart from to have one-upmanship and a power imbalance? So you know whether someone's being genuine or not, and whether they are actually, you know, So number seven, trying to please everyone may not necessarily lead to genuine friendship. So while it may come across as kindness, it often serves the individual more than others. So when someone's like really nice, like overly nice, like we spoke about this one in the first thing, it makes it challenging to establish authentic friendships with those who exhibit such behaviour. So that's another thing to look out with. The key to nurturing our friendships is to prioritise our overall well-being and pay attention to our emotions and how we feel in our body. It's crucial not to disregard everyone or end friendships abruptly. Obviously, some of these, you know, you could take, you know, think, oh, it's just awareness that we need, but rather to consider how they contribute to our well-being as we embark on our journey to holistic health, and what are the genuine interactions. So we ultimately decide who we allow in our life and also who stays too. So I hope you enjoyed this, and it has highlighted that yes, we can talk about nasty friends and nasty people and nasty women, and I, you know, we have this, oh no, girls are always dead nice and polite. Yeah, they are on the surface, but they don't change if they've not worked on themselves, and they will still be doing the same crap that they did in secondary school and primary school, and how they behave towards others, just like our romantic relationships. If we've not worked on why we do stuff, it will perpetuate, and we do not need to tolerate people's toxic patterns. We just don't have to. And that goes, you know, that goes with me as well. And you, like, we look in the mirror and we think, right, okay, am I doing that? Am I behaving that way? Why am I doing it? You know, be kind to yourself. But it's a massive, massive thing, friendships and connection, when it comes to our whole health. It's not just about dieting, it's not just about exercise, it's so, so important. And we really do need to kind of highlight this area, especially for us going into our 40s and we're like, hang on a minute, the dynamics are still similar. So I am a certified health, wellness and nutrition coach, a yoga teacher and breath coach with a background in cosmetology. And additionally, I am on my way to becoming a personal trainer. I have an integrative health clinic in Manchester, Cheshire, with additional clinics held in Sale, Hale and Altrincham. I am eager to hear from you and assist you on your path to complete well-being. And I will see you in the next podcast. Thank you for listening to this episode. You can find more information about what has been discussed in the show notes and on my website, complexhealthcoach.uk. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to leave a comment or review, and I will see you in the next.